I'm going to read a verse that a lot of times we read in December, we read around Christmas time, but this is a very timely verse, and we're going to see over the next few weeks, this verse actually has a lot of bearing on where we are and what we're going through right now, and I believe that it's going to speak to us in this season. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of a crisis, you are working and moving. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of what's going on across this nation, that you are still God and you are still on the throne, that you are still the God of justice, the God of mercy. And Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, that we can trust you no matter what we face, Lord. And we thank you, God, for this group of men and women that have gathered to listen to you, to what you would speak to us through your word today. Open up our ears to hear, change us and shape us and make us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. William Shakespeare said in his famous play, Romeo and Juliet, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." In other words, names aren't really all that important. Well, I'm no Willie Shakespeare, but if you ask me, names really do matter. A name is important. Tell your neighbor, a name is important. My wife and I, we came face to face with this reality when we had to choose a name for our child. Because this kid's going to spend his whole life being called by the name that we come up with. That's a lot of pressure, y'all. So we started with the list. How many of y'all know about the list? Okay, come on. We had every name from A to Z, from Alexander to Zachariah, and everything in between. And after we made this giant list, we began to scratch off names one by one. Okay, if we knew somebody with a certain name and they got on our nerves, off the list. If we had a crazy relative that had that name, off the list. Old boyfriends, definitely off the list forever, okay? Some names are off limits. And when I was growing up, I always thought that Clark Kent was a cool name. You know, he's Superman, okay? But if we named him Clark, he'd get beat up on the playground. So that one was out too. But we spent time making sure that we gave our kid a good name. And some families out there should have put a little more thought into the process, like the Mann family. They named their daughter Anita. So for her whole life, she was known as Anita Mann. You can see how this would be a problem, right? Or the Wright family, they named their daughter Eileen. Eileen Wright? Anybody? See how that would be a little awkward? Or the Price family, they named their daughter Lois. Lois Price is not a good name. The list goes on and on, but my favorite by far, my wife and I, her best friend growing up, her name was Shannon Pitts, and I was friends with her brother David Pitts, and they had an uncle named Harry. Kid you not. His name was Harry Pitts. good thing you wasn't a girl, all right? Listen, parents really need to think about this stuff, right? And some people take normal names, perfectly normal names, and they turn them into weird names. Have you ever had somebody mispronounce your name or say it like a really, yeah, I know you have over there, right? All right. My brother's name is Jared, and our bus driver all through elementary school called him Gerard. And he would say, "Miss Austin, my name's Jared." "Okay, Gerard, you have a good day, baby," right? And I would laugh every time. I would laugh at him, but when somebody says my name wrong, it aggravates me, anybody like that. My, how the tables have turned. I feel like I have a fairly simple name, J-O-S-H, Josh, right? But I've been called John, Gosh, Jaunts, which is not even a word or a name, okay? And for years, my Bible college president called me Scott. No lie, called me Scott every day. "Scott, get in here. I'm coming, Dr. Cook. I'm on the way." Oh, boy. Names are funny, right? Like if your name's Aaron and somebody calls you Aaron, or your name's Jessica and they call you Jessica. Right? People can be funny with names. But names are important. Names matter. There are good names and there are evil names. Did you know that? Right now there's a virus with a name. The name COVID-19. The coronavirus. That's an evil name. And we hear that name all the time, don't we? Right now we're hearing names that invoke fear and worry and anxiety. That's why over the next few weeks we're going to talk about another name. A different name. We're going to talk about a name that brings hope and a name that brings healing. And it's the name that's better than any other name. Anybody know what name I'm talking about today? The name of Jesus. So in this series, we're going to look at the five names of Jesus found in Isaiah chapter 9. And I believe that as we go through this series, more and more, especially towards the end of this series, this is really going to speak into where we are right now and the struggles that we're facing. But let's look back at Isaiah chapter 9, the five names of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's look at that first one. His name will be called Wonderful. Jesus has a wonderful name. There is something about the name of Jesus that is not like any other name. His name, the very name of Jesus, is wonderful. The Bible says that God has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. One day, Peter and John were on the way to the temple to pray, and as they walked in the temple gates, there was a man who couldn't walk, and he was laying there begging for money. And Peter looked at him and said, "Well, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And the man got up and walked. He was healed in the name of Jesus. There is healing in Jesus' name. Do you believe that, somebody? It drives me crazy when people put on Facebook, "Well, if Jesus was here, he would wear a mask." Honey, Jesus is the mask. He is the healer. He is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Jesus don't need no mask. Hello. Go to type it on Facebook. Jesus said, "In my name, you will cast out devils, you will speak with new tongues, you will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." There's healing in the name of Jesus, and there's salvation in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus' salvation is only in his name. Acts 2:21 says this, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's good news for you and me. And have you ever wondered why we pray in the name of Jesus? Y'all ever wondered why? Jesus himself said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." Listen, the name of Jesus represents the fullness of the authority of God. The name of Jesus is power to the believer. The name of Jesus is your prayer line to heaven. It is your freedom from addiction. It is your healing from every sickness and every disease. The name of Jesus is restoration for the brokenness in your life. It's your help for today and hope for a better tomorrow. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." The name of Jesus is our strong tower in time of trouble. The name of Jesus is a lifeline to those drowning in sin. It is rest for the weary and strength for the weak. It is greater than sickness and greater than poverty and greater than this pandemic. It's greater than any curse. It's greater than any fear. It strikes fear in the hearts of the enemy. Demons tremble at the mention of the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. And I have to ask you this morning, do you know him? If you don't know Jesus, you need to know him, because there's nobody like him. He is the one and only. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the apple of God's eye and the brightness of God's glory. Jesus is the very center of God's will, the delight of God's heart. He's the desire of nations, the image of the invisible God, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the great physician. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who begins a good work in us and brings it to completion. He is wonderful. We live in a culture that says there are many paths to God and there are many ways to heaven. But Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You need to know this morning that doing good deeds is not the way. Living a good moral life, that's good, but that's not the way either. Buddha is not the way. Confucius is not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Muhammad is not the way. The Virgin Mary is not the way. By the way, this is Pentecost Sunday, and I think Pentecostal church ought to write a letter to the Catholic church and say, we want Mary back, because she was in the upper room on Pentecost Sunday. She was a tongue-talking mama. Amen. But the Virgin Mary's not the way. Republicans are not the way. Democrats are not the way. Philosophy is not the way. Jesus is the way, and he's the only way. There is no other Savior but him. And the Bible says in Isaiah 9, his name will be called Wonderful. The Hebrew word translated as wonderful is the word Pele. Come on, say that with me. Say Pele. Okay, see, you learned something this morning. You learned how to say wonderful in Hebrew. So now you can go around and say Pele to everybody. Oh, how are you doing today? I'm Pele. Like, what? Brazilian soccer player? Pele, the Hebrew word Pele. That word Pele means something indescribably great. It's something that's literally beyond description. It goes beyond human comprehension. And that's how wonderful Jesus is. He goes beyond our human comprehension. He is indescribably great. The word wonderful quite literally means full of wonder. When you examine the life of Jesus, it doesn't take long before you start to see the many wonders of who he is. And if we went through all the wonders of Jesus, we'd be here all day and all night. But I do want to tell you just two of them this morning. Two of them very quickly. Are you ready today? Two of the wonders of Jesus. Number one, I see the wonder of his life. Jesus lived a life unlike any other. His life was a wonder. The Bible says of humanity that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there is none righteous, no, not one. So all of us have missed it. At some point, I'm going to do a survey this morning. I'm going to ask everybody to be honest with me. And I know we got some kids sitting next to your mama this morning, but your mama loves you, so you can be honest, okay? How many of you have ever told a lie in your life? Okay, all right. Oh, mama's raising a hand for her. I see. Uh-huh, mama really loves you. Teaching you about honesty today. How many of you have ever taken something that wasn't yours? Anybody? Oh, boy, I did. I was a lunchroom bandit, boy. You in second grade, you better watch out for me. I'm going to steal your lunch money. Give me extra cookies. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's got needs. But then I got saved and God delivered. Amen. Repay what I stole. How many of you that can drive have ever broken the speed limit? Okay. So basically, we're a bunch of lying, thieving, rule breakers in the house today. Listen, I did that to illustrate a point. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all failed God in some way. We've all failed to be perfect in our human lives, but not Jesus. He was different. Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he knew no sin. Jesus lived a human life, yet he never committed a single sin. I would call that a wonder, wouldn't you? And guess what? Jesus faced every temptation that we face. That's what blows my mind. Hebrews 4:15, talking about Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. yet he did not sin. So the wonder of his life is that he lived a sinless life. But think about every temptation you've ever faced, every struggle you've ever dealt with. Jesus faced those very same things, and he never sinned. Jesus lived a sinless life, and he also lived a selfless life. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus lived his life to meet the needs of other people. Whenever he met a sick person, he healed them. When he met somebody bound by the devil, he set them free. When he met a hungry multitude, he fed them. He taught people about the kingdom of God. He even knelt down and washed people's feet. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, bowing down and washing your feet. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 10:45. He said, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That blows my mind. Here was Jesus, who deserved to be worshiped. If anything, people should have died for him. People should have served him. And yet he humbled himself and became a servant. And if Jesus, the Son of God, came to be a servant, how much more should you and I, as Christians, how much should we be servants? Hello. There's no room for pride or arrogance in the kingdom of God. God has called us to be like Jesus, to be humble and to serve. Amen. James 4:6 says this, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Jesus lived a sinless life, and he lived a selfless life. We live selfish lives. He lived a selfless life. So one, I see the wonder of his life. Two, I see the wonder of his love. Jesus did something that nobody was expecting. He died on the cross to save us. There's something wonderful about the love of Jesus. We were the ones who had sinned, and we were the ones who deserved to be punished. We were the ones who were guilty, yet Jesus, the perfect one who lived a sinless life, willingly laid down his life to save us. What a wonderful Savior. 1 John 4 says this, "This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." Y'all remember the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus, Because He First Loved Me"? That's what the Word of God says. Real love is not that we love God, but he first loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The love of Jesus is unconditional. He loved us when we didn't deserve it. When we were unlovable, he loved us and gave himself for us. Romans 5:7, "Very rarely will anyone die for even a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might, possibly, maybe, there's a very small chance they might dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were at our worst, God gave his best." He said in Jeremiah 31:3, and I love this. This is God's message to humanity. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. You need to know today that God loves you, and he loves you with all of his heart. I read a news story that got my attention. I'll never forget it. One evening, a woman was driving home when she noticed this large truck behind her. And the truck was driving way too close, so she stepped on the gas to gain some distance between her and him. But when she sped up, the truck sped up. The faster she drove, the faster the truck drove. And now she was scared. She was afraid. She took the very first exit she came to, but the truck stayed with her. She thought maybe she could turn onto a main avenue and lose him, but he followed her. He even ran a red light to stay right behind her. Reaching the point of panic, the woman whipped her car into a service station and bolted out of her car screaming for help, and the truck driver sprang out of his truck and ran towards the car. He didn't follow her. He threw open the back door of her car and pulled out a man who had been hiding in the back seat. This woman was running from the wrong person. You see, this truck driver from his high vantage point spotted this would-be attacker in the woman's car, and he was chasing her not to hurt her, but to save her. And you need to know today that God is pursuing you not to hurt you, not to condemn you. God is pursuing you to save you because God sees things not like you see them. You see, God sits high and he looks low. And from his perspective, he sees the danger that you're in. He sees the end result of sin. He sees the danger of your lifestyle. So God is pursuing you. The whole Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to your heart about the way you're living, not to hurt you, not to harm you, not to beat you over the head, but to save you because he loves you and he cares about you. That's the love of God. The love of Jesus is wonderful. And if you don't know him, get to know him this morning. It's very simple. It's an easy decision. Make up your mind to follow Jesus. Commit your life to him, and he will change you and set you free. I've heard so many people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'll come and I'll start going to church as soon as I quit smoking. As soon as I quit getting drunk, as soon as I quit going to the club, as soon as I quit smoking weed, as soon as I quit living with my boyfriend, I'll start going to church. That's not how it works. You can't clean yourself. You come to Jesus just the way you are and let him change you. Every other world religion is an outside in. You change from the outside, but let Jesus change your heart. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When you give your life to Jesus, you are a new creation in him. He'll change you from the inside out. Trust your life to him today. He'll love you. He'll accept you. He'll forgive you. He'll wash your sins away. He'll make you brand new. Will you pray with me this morning as we get ready to close? Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your incredible love. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and did what we couldn't do. You lived a perfect life. And though, Lord, you didn't owe anything, Lord, you paid a debt you did not owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Jesus, thank you that you gave your all for us on the cross so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be set free from sin, so we could be made brand new. Lord, we thank you that you died to pay the price for us, to break the yoke of sinful, wicked humanity off of us, Lord, to set us free. And Lord, I thank you, God, that today is the day of salvation for somebody, that this is their appointed time in this moment now. Lord, as we pray together as a church, Lord, I thank you that you're touching somebody's heart. Lord, that there's somebody here that you've been pursuing. Lord, not to harm them or to hurt them or condemn them, but to save them, to set them free. God, to protect them from harm, to keep them from danger, to make them brand new. And Lord, I thank you, God, for giving them the faith and the boldness today, Lord, to put their life in your hands. And Lord, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith in God today. The Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer. Let's pray together. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for paying the price for me. And with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Will you stand and celebrate if you've been set free by the blood of Jesus? Will you just thank give you, God, some worship,
Lord,
this morning?
Lord, we just praise you and worship you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your blood. Lord, we just thank you, Father God. Lord, you are the healer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Father. Lord, I just thank you that today is Pentecost Sunday, and it's no accident that we opened up our doors back on Pentecost Sunday. I think back on last year at this time, and we had the altar full of people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's no accident that today the church is beginning to open back up and become full. And if you want that fire, raise your hands because we're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for today. I thank you that today is the day of Pentecost. It's the day that the Holy Spirit was released into our bodies where we have the evidence of speaking in tongues. And God, today, if anybody is longing for that, Father, Lord, fill them up right now in the name of Jesus. God, let them begin to speak in other tongues, Father. Have tongues of fire. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for filling people. Lord, and if they've lost that passion and that desire, that this morning that you give them a new fire. God, let your fire fall down on them today, Father. Give them a new prayer language, Father. Lord, I just thank you for your anointing all over this building, in the parking lot, and on Facebook and on YouTube, Father. If people are sitting in their beds, Father, this morning, I pray a fresh wind into their homes, Father. Lord, that this morning that you touch our land, Father, where the United States is hurting and all across the nation. Lord, that this morning we call healing into our land. God, I thank you that injustice will be made justice, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that fear that people have had of their kids being raised, Lord, that peace will reside in them, Father. God, that they will trust in Jesus, Father, because you are their protector. God, I thank you, Father, for just touching people's minds where they're fearful, because God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And God, I thank you for the power that you have given us in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that there is no other name above the name of Jesus. And God, I just thank you, Father, for the power when we say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You don't even have to utter another word, but just say Jesus. And God, I thank you for that power. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you know what every person is facing as my voice is touching them. And Lord, I thank you that you use me as a vessel this morning, God, to touch whoever needs to be touched, Father. Lord, that you heal marriages this morning. God, that you restore hope. God, I thank you for hope being restored. Lord, I just thank you for touching people's minds and, Lord, for healing their bodies. Lord, I thank you that there your blood was shed on Calvary, and it is not your will that we walk in sickness, but it's your will that we walk in divine health. And if anybody in the sound of my voice is suffering from sickness or has a diagnosis, God, that you are the healing God, and I proclaim healing in the name of Jesus to flow from their heads to their toes, Father. Lord, if it's asthma, if it's the coronavirus, if it's a cold, if it's diabetes, if it's cancer, God, I thank you that there is no name above your name, and that cancer has to flee in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you are a good, good Father, and Lord, that it is not your desire for the things to go on that are going on in this world. Lord, I thank you for giving our leaders, Father, wisdom above any wisdom, Father. Lord, and they operate in that wisdom, Father. Lord, I just thank you for guiding us, for ordaining our footsteps, for ministering in and throughout us, Father. Lord, that as we go out around our week, Father, that you use each one of us to spread hope. God, you use each one of us to spread love, Lord, and we just thank you for being with us, Father. Lord, I thank you that you are a good, good Father, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that we do not have to live in fear, that you are Jehovah, Father. Lord, that you know the beginning from the end, Father, and Lord, that nothing that any one of us is going through is a surprise to you, and that you have a plan and a purpose. And Lord, I thank you that this morning that people get a hold of that plan and that purpose. God, that they don't live in fear, that they don't live beat down, Father. But Lord, that this morning that you bring a fresh rise into them, Father, a fresh fire to fall on your people this morning. Lord, that they don't look at the news and become discouraged, but they look at the news and they see a mission field, Father. Lord, that we don't bow down as Christians and say it's time to be quiet, but now we look at the world and we have a fire that says, let's go change it. Let's go spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all these people that are dying and hurting and going to hell. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to a purpose, and Lord, that you will have your way this week, Father, that you protect us, Father, and that you be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're all together, love. All together, one.
Come on, let's sing it out one more time. Here I am.